Hello and welcome to everyone listening to the Written to Melanin podcast, the place where you come to get your weekly dose of melanated creativity. I'm your host, CM Lockhart, an author of fantasy books featuring black girls who aren't all that nice and the owner of the Melanin Library, an online database of books written by black authors. And in this space, I share with you everything I've learned on my journey as a black and indie author. I'm glad you're here. So, welcome to a special bonus episode of the Written to Melanin podcast, you guys. Today, I am here with Michael LeBourne. He is an author, publisher, and bookish content creator, and an internet thorn in the side of major publishing companies. You may know him from TikTok, because that is where our paths cross, and from his monthly indie book subscription box, which he uses to fight for indie authors of color by teaching American readers what an actual inclusion looks like. So, welcome to the podcast, Michael.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited.
Yeah, me too. Me too. So, for those of you who are new to the podcast, or you're new to me, or whatever has brought you here on this lovely day you are listening to this, what you guys need to know about Michael is that he's absolutely incredible. And when I tell y'all that he is out here doing the good Lord's work, uplifting black and brown creators, he is out here doing it, y'all. So before I get into like the rant and the raving, because y'all know how I can do, Michael, for our listeners, for those who have not had the chance to like get to know you, interact with you, feel free to introduce yourself, your book, because he is also a fantasy author, you guys, and let them know what you got going on.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Michael. Like she said, I am the author of Alfieri, which is a very unapologetically black story about people who are just trying to defy purpose, defy destiny, and forge a path for themselves. And I dedicate most of my online presence to fighting for black and brown voices in the publishing industry by irritating traditional publishers and convincing fellow influencers to join me in that. That's my mission in life, is to irritate those publishers until they make space for us.
I love that. And it's absolutely working, because I know on my feed alone, like I see you, I see the books that you're promoting, and it's really helped to just like make me aware of other authors who are out there doing it. Because, you know, one of the things that kind of is difficult as an indie author sometimes is finding other indie authors who are really serious about their craft and promoting, and you're like, oh, I want to read this book too. Because, you know, as much as we are authors and we're like, yeah, my book is out there, we're also readers, where it's just like, I'm looking for other books and creators to support. So I absolutely love everything that you do, and I love that you're like, yeah, I'm trying to irritate traditional publishing. Because I feel like there are still a lot of authors, a lot of readers who view traditional publishing as this giant monolith of like, this is what you need to achieve in order to be successful. So I really love that a lot of your content is also like just educating people, like, there are other ways to do this, you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's go back to like the beginning of this. Like, what led you to be like, okay, yeah, no, I'm absolutely going to be the villain of trad publishing?
You know, it's actually really funny, because I didn't know BookTok existed. I had a previous account and I was talking about completely different things. And then one day I started kind of messing with the idea of Alfieri. I started writing that book, and I realized my audience wasn't going to be interested in this book, because it's not what I had been talking about. It's not what I had been working on previously. And so I wanted to start reaching out to people who liked fantasy and who liked the kind of things I was talking about. And I realized, you know what? I'm surrounded by people who like to read, but just wouldn't be interested in reading about a book that had me in it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for so many different reasons, they don't want to read books that have black characters. They don't read, and specifically books that don't have a lot of white characters. And so I started kind of talking about that, about how resistant people were to this idea, simply because I didn't have a lot of white characters. And white authors started pushing back. They were telling me that I was being racist, that I wasn't being inclusive, I wasn't being diverse, because so many of the characters I was talking about were black. And so I finally was like, you know what? I'm just going to write a book where I am describing black people with intricacy, and I am describing all white people like food dishes the way y'all do to us. And it blew up from there. People were very interested, and I was like, you know what? There is an audience for this. but they're being suppressed and they're not being heard. So I started to push for that. I accidentally stumbled on Black Book Talk. And then I got really excited, but then I realized the problem was there too, that a lot of Black Book Talk is only fighting for the Black voices that have been validated by those same old white men. And I was like, I'm not here for this. And I was really discouraged, and I almost decided not to put my book out and to just go back to what I was doing before, because I was like, I don't even feel safe among the people that are fighting for diversity. And then I was like, I think that we just don't see this problem. So I started looking for the people that saw the problem, connecting with them, and I decided that I wanted to be a part of change rather than being chased away because it wasn't here yet.
All of that, if you guys are watching this, if the video version of this goes up somewhere, can't make any promises at this point, but if it does, like, I just need y'all to know the way I was nodding and the way it's just like everything you said was absolutely resonating with me, because it's just like, you've read We Are the Origin, and it's just kind of like, it's intentionally for Black readers. It's like the characters are Black. There are not a lot of white coded characters, and that is on purpose, because it's not like, oh, I'm gonna get y'all back because we're not in your books. It's more like lived experience. My life is around other Black people, and kind of like what you said with Black Book Talk. Initially, I came across this exact same problem that you ran across of like, okay, y'all are pushing like Children of Blood and Bone and Legendborn and, you know, these already really popular and validated books. And I was like, well, yes, these books absolutely deserve for more people to know about them, because I'm all about a Black author getting their bag and for people reading diversely. I'm also like, these are not the only Black books in existence, and definitely not in fantasy, and definitely not in just like other genres. Like, there's more than just like Beverly Jenkins or, you know, Kennedy Ryan. Like, there are so many authors out here doing the work and writing the stories. So the fact that you were like, yeah, it takes a moment. And I think that moment that you mentioned isn't talked about enough, where it's just like, you choose to either go along with it or you choose to be a part of the solution. And I think it's really impactful that you had that moment where it's just like, yeah, I can either run away from this. I cannot put out my book because it seems like there's not an audience for it, and the people who already follow me are pushing back on it. Or I could just be a part of the change. And not only did you continue to do that on Book Talk, but you took it leaps and bounds further, which I absolutely love. You're like, I'm going to talk about it on my Patreon. I'm going to create a book subscription box, and I'm going to, you know, create a book club, and I'm going to create a publishing house. And when I tell y'all that we're going to diversify these bookshelves, you literally create a company called Diversify Your Bookshelf.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride, and it's so much work, but it's one of the most fulfilling things I've done in my life is, I feel like for me, and I do want to agree with you completely, I have nothing against traditionally published Black and Brown authors. Like, I am excited every single time I see a Black or Brown person, especially a woman of color, who has made it. I am excited every time I see somebody raving about Tracy Dion or N.K. Jemisin. I am excited. I am on board. I will take those books. I will read the mess out of them. I will talk about them and promote them. But if we want real diversity, I want the books on your shelves that the white publishers are afraid to publish.
Yes.
I want the books that they haven't had their dirty little hands on. I want those books. I love those books that are out there. I really do. And there are some authors of color who are defying the traditional publishing company, even on their dollar. Like Kwong, her books, if you haven't read Yellowface yet, when it comes out, read it. That book is so mean to traditional publishing. So there are authors that are out there doing it. But if in any movement for change, we're not going to get there until we are throwing our weight behind the smallest nominator, behind the lowest voices, behind the people at the very bottom. And that is always going to be marginalized people who have not been validated by the people in power. So I'm all about those authors. But until we make space for indie authors, I just don't think that we mean it when we say we want to diversify. That's going to piss the people off on Book Talk. I love y'all. I have nothing against y'all, but I did mean what I said.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things that personally, I 100% agree with, because it's like on the podcast and on the platforms and stuff that I have, whenever I'm talking about things like this, I try to make it very clear that like, you can be a supporter of traditional publishing. And I am very much a person where I'm like, As an author, you have to pick the path that is right for you. And the reality of it is, self and indie publishing is not for everyone, just like traditional publishing is not for everyone. So if that's the route that you want to go, like, no shade towards you at all. And I hope that you are successful and able to achieve your dream and what it is that you're trying to do. However, it doesn't dismiss the fact that there is a part of the conversation that needs to be had, that indie authors, especially marginalized authors, and especially Black authors in America, where it's like we don't have as much access to traditional publishing. And it's not because our books are not good. It's not because our stories are not interesting. It's because you have to have the conversation, the nuance, to admit that traditional publishing is very much catering to a white audience. And so a lot of their metrics, a lot of the people in power are the people who do not look like us. So when our stories are intended for an audience of people that traditional publishing just does not acknowledge, then it's just like we have to go other paths to find that audience and to in our own way, like, prove that there absolutely is an audience. Because the fact of that matter is, like, America, like, the majority population in America is a minority, quote unquote, minority population. So it's just like there are definitely people who are out here reading who want these stories. And traditional publishing, like you said, when they get their hands on it, they change it. And it kind of, in my experience, kind of sometimes morphs into this narrative, especially when it comes to Black authors, of, you know, being the magical minority. You are the only one, or, you know, these characters are in spaces, even as the main character, they're in spaces where they are still the minority. They're still oppressed. They're overcoming something that is wildly, wildly improbable, or dealing with a lot of macro and microaggressions as if this is just the norm. This is the expectation. And the fact that, you know, that we are getting to a point, because from my perspective, you know, having been a part of the bookish community since 2019, 2020, like, kind of heavily, it's just like, it's really nice to see people really starting to push indie authors and be like, these are real books and these are good books. And I say real because, for some, whatever reason, for better or worse, there are still a lot of people who assign this negative quality aspect to self and indie published books, which is completely wild to me at this point, because I'm like, the last couple of traditionally published books I've read, I'm like, there are a couple of mistakes in here, you guys.
Yeah, for sure. And that's always been interesting to me, how quick we are to dismiss indie books for problems that exist in the traditional published books too. Yeah. Like, I read a lot of both, and I find trash in both piles. And I find great books in both piles.
Exactly. And I think my whole thing, like, from my perspective, it's just kind of like, maybe it's the Libra in me imbalance. I don't know. It's just kind of like, you know, just judging a book equally and not just assigning the label of this book is good because it's traditionally published, or this book is bad because it's not traditionally published, you know?
And I think that's one of the benefits of what influencers bring to the table, is that we shouldn't be judging books based off of how they're produced. We should be judging them off of how they're received by readers. And the only way that we can fairly do that is if people read our books. If I go into an indie author's reviews and it's filled with reviews from people saying this book was amazing, I don't care if it was indie or traditionally published. Reviewers liked it. I'm going to read it. And I just think that if we would kind of shift from paying attention more to productivity than we did to reception, I think that we would have a very different experience with publishing as a whole. And honestly, a lot of us indies would probably stop crapping on traditional publishing as much, to be honest.
Honestly, because I think the biggest thing that is frustrating as an indie author with traditional publishing is just the reach and how influencers and readers react. When they know that your book isn't traditionally published, it kind of takes on a different vibe, a different way that they treat it. Because, you know, I've seen influencers who are like, I don't like to read or take requests or arcs from self and indie published authors, because they're like, if I don't like the book, I feel like I'm single-handedly, like, destroying their platform. And it's just kind of like, no, it doesn't work that way. Like, if you don't like it, that's valid. But if I sent you a book, it's just like, that's a risk as an indie author that you kind of have to take. And I know that you have your own opinions about it, because I saw you talk about it on TikTok about how the conversation of, you know, like how receiving a free book from a publisher or from an author is not in any way like a contract where it's just like, oh, you have to give positive promotion for this book. It's literally like, hi, I'm asking you to do me a favor. You're not obligated to, at least from my perspective, right? One, you're not obligated to create content on it at all. Like, I'm literally asking you to do something for free. And two, I'm asking you to be honest about it, because the thing is, you know, everybody has to know their own audience. And I've experienced this very recently with like reaching out to ARC reviewers for my second book. And some of the people who responded to my outreach, you know, they were tagged in the post, but when I reached out to them, they're like, my audience, they only read smut. So if there's no smut in this book, I can't help you. And it's just like, that level of honesty is appreciated. But yeah, I feel like sometimes that gets lost in the sauce, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that when it comes to, for me specifically, when it comes to indie authors, with traditional publishing, if they offer me a book, I don't really care. I'll take it. If I don't like it, I don't like it. I don't really care. Because there's going to be a bunch of influencers who did like it. There's going to be a bunch of people that book gets into their hands, they did like it. But with indie authors, if I know my audience isn't going to like your book, and if I know I'm not going to like your book, I'm probably going to redirect you to a different influencer, because I, first of all, I know that that $10 is different in the hands of a small budget as opposed to traditional publishing budget. But second of all, I do feel that way. I don't want, there's 60,000 people to follow me. I don't want to go in front of them and say, hey, this book that won't be read by 60,000 people probably sucked. I don't want to do that. Now, if it's filled with bigotry, you shouldn't have sent that to me. You watched my channel. You knew better than sending me your book filled with bigotry. And that does happen. But outside of that, more often than not, I'm probably not going to make content about it. But if I did, you did ask me to.
Exactly. And, you know, honestly, Michael, I feel like that is a real conversation that I wish more people had. Kind of for me, like, I'm kind of on both sides, because like I run the Melanin Library, and so I do have people reaching out like because of that platform, like, hey, will you promote this book? But also as an author, I have to reach out to people, and one of the things that I always try to tell people is like, hey, you should probably watch some of the content from these creators before you reach out to see if they would like your book. And it's just like, just because they talked about Legendborn one time, if the majority of their content is like romance or like dark fantasy, and you're like, I wrote like a middle grade fantasy, probably not the person to reach out to. And I think a large part of it is doing your research, because like you said, that $10, that one book that gets sent out definitely hits differently when you're like self-published or indie published versus when you're trad published, and it's just like, oh, I'll reach out to my editor, or I'll reach out to my team and see if I can get you a book sent. That's not financially directing a trad author. But one of the things I wanted to ask is like, from your perspective, is, you know, being an influencer and like a prominent influencer in the space, if we're being real, it's just like, how do you prefer like people reach out to you and contact you? Because I know you have to get a lot of requests, and I know that some of them have to be like, thank you, but also no thank you. So how is that like from your perspective?
I don't really care how people reach out to me. I'm pretty open and approachable. And I'm deeply in love with indie authors, so I'm here for it. People generally just reach out to me in my comments and say, hey, I have a book for you. Can I DM you? And I'll always say yes. I think if I was giving a responsible advice though, I would point out that I am not the standard for reaching out to influencers. Most of us don't like that, I would guess, based on the way that they respond to those comments sometimes. Most of us have our email in our bio, or we have a link tree that has our website or our email or our contact information. I would use those channels because that's where people are watching. But also, to be completely honest, if I was giving indie authors advice on how to reach out to influencers, I would tell you to reach out the same way that you would expect a publisher to. I would tell you, send them an email with information about your book, pitching your book, not just, hey, I have a book, can I send it to you? But pitch your book. hey, I have this fantasy that's about this and this. The main character is going through this. Here are the big tropes. Here's what's going on. Here are the trigger warnings. Is that something that would interest you and your followers? I think the majority of influencers would respond better if they had more information on our book, because one of the things I've experienced is that as a whole, we and the authors, and I'm saying we because there are absolutely people who are like, Michael, the thing you're telling people not to do, I remember you doing that to me 3 years ago. Like, we learn, right? But one of the things that I've learned as an influencer is that indie authors as a whole, we are obviously more invested in our marketing than traditionally published authors. Not more invested, but we're more, our marketing approach is a little more intimate.
Yeah.
Because this is my book. This is my baby. I'm not a publicist talking about a book that's going to make me money, but it's not mine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we are often a little more hands-on, and we're a little rude when influencers don't like our stuff. So a lot of influencers are kind of hesitant to work with us sometimes because some of us are kind of rude when they don't like it. So I would encourage you, I think that some of that professional distance in just presenting your work as something separate from, hey, this is about me, I think it would benefit a lot of us. I really do.
Oh my God, Michael, that is a whole podcast episode in and of itself, because this is a slight rant and y'all just gonna have to bear with me.
Let it out.
Because like I said, I'm on both sides of this, mm-hmm. this fence, right? I am an author, but I'm also in my own way, like an influencer. I like to let people know that I'm not going to read your book. I will promote your book. I will put it on the Melanin Library if you're Black, but I'm probably not going to read it because the way my life is set up, I just really don't have time like that unless I'm already like invested in it, right? But the way some people will reach out and be like, we best friends, and like no introduction, no hello, no what is your book about, no how long is it, nothing. I know absolutely nothing about you. You are a stranger in my DMs. Who are you? How can I help you? And it's just like, I feel like there is a part of the reason why I think trad authors do get a little bit more promotion is the way that they present themselves, because I don't care what anyone says. So it could just be the millennial in me, but I'm just like, there is a difference between an email and a DM. There will always be a difference. An email is inherently so much more professional than a DM. One, because you can handle an email when you want to. It's a longer response. There are attachments involved, and it's a way to actually contact you that is not predicated on this service working, because we all know that there are moments where Instagram goes down, where Twitter and TikTok are not working, or there's an update that's rolled out and it's just not doing the thing properly. And so it's just kind of like, one, an email is always going to be more professional, but two, you can actually word it and format it and pitch yourself. And like you said, you create that professional distance where it's like, okay, get back to me when you're ready, because like on TikTok, you know, when someone on Instagram, you know, when someone has seen your message. And so then you start to get in your feelings when you're like, okay, I know you have read my message. Why haven't you gotten back to me immediately? And it's just kind of like, you have to give people time to like think about things. And it's like, if you're pitching an email, because I've done this before, and I will say this from my personal experience, I have seen a huge difference reaching out to influencers who I have no prior communication with. I'll say, like, if I watch their channel or I'm just like a fan of their content and I have not actually had contact with them, and it's not like, oh, they commented on my post saying that they were interested in my book, but just like a straight cold call, cold email, I've had so much better responses once I actually was like, hi, my name is CM Lockhart, you know, also known as Chelsea. This is who I am. This is my platform. This is why I'm reaching out to you. This is what my book is about. And then like actually attaching a little one page, like here's the press about my book. This is the summary. This is who it's for. This is the cover, yada, yada, yada. And that way giving them information so that they can get back to me. And sometimes it's like, thank you for reaching out to me. Currently, I've already scheduled all the promotion I'm going to do for the next, 6 months. So I won't be able to do it. Or, hey, I'm not really taking requests right now. So if you're fine with me kind of getting to it when I get to it, you can feel free to send me the book, yada, yada, yada. And getting a positive response is a like a boom, right? Because like they responded. That's a wonderful right. thing in and of itself. But also that aspect of acknowledging that it's not a contract. So sometimes it's just literally like, send me the book. And if I get to it, I get to it. And sometimes influencers will literally be like, oh, I'm going to go ahead and read the book right now. And that's wonderful. Makes you feel good as an author, but you can't always bank on getting that kind of response. And I think as authors, that professional aspect of being like, yes, it's my book, it's my baby, I want people to love it as much as I love it, I want it to be priority. I think also remembering that people have TBRs and they get kind of long. And
very.
There are a lot of people who said they are going to read a book and then 3 months later, they're still like, I'm going to read the book. You know?
Yeah, I like to tell people, I'm absolutely going to read your book, but I might be a liar. Like, there's this, my TBR is just, it's just huge. And there's nothing that we can do about that sometimes. And I think that for me, there's two aspects to this. There's the side of it where indie authors have to, learn how to create some professional distance. And also there's the influencer side where we have to learn that indie authors are not approaching the publishing industry from the same standards that traditional publishers are. Because as an influencer, I know that when a publisher reaches out to me, they know that me accepting the book and reading it and saying I'll read it does not mean that I'm promising them content, does not mean that I will even get to the book. I can be like, yeah, send it to me, I'm excited to read that, and we have an understanding. But indie authors, they don't have that understanding a lot of the time. They're taking me at my word. So I think it's important for influencers to be a little more upfront within the authors and to say, hey, I will accept your book, but yeah, I don't know when I'll get to it. So I like when people do that. I think that's important to set real expectations. And I think a lot of this is going to come down to, because I do believe we're heading towards change.
Absolutely.
Even in the 7-8 months I've been on Book Talk, I've seen there are more influencers who are taking indie books. There are more influencers that are pushing indie books. There are more influencers that are doing paid reviews for indie books. So I'm seeing more of it. So we're heading towards change. But I think a big part of that change is going to come down to influencers and authors, heavy on the authors, because we're the ones making money from this industry. And I think authors need to understand that. Influencers, you all think we're out here making a ton of money off of our post group. We ain't making no money. You're the only one making money here. So we need to understand that. But it's going to come down to influencers and authors readjusting our expectations from this industry and from one another's place in the industry.
Absolutely. And I think there's also this idea that like, oh, you're getting a free book out of it. Like, that is your payment. Like, homie, when has a free book ever fed you? When has that ever put gas in your tank? Okay. Like, yes. And be mindful, I think, that a lot of influencers do this as a hobby. They do this because they enjoy it. They do it because it's something that they like. And, you know, telling someone that they tell, like, imagine going up to a crocheter and being like, I bought you some yarn, so you need to make me a hat right now. Like, that's not how it works. So it's just like, it's the same thing where it's just like, I gave you a book, therefore you have to read it and make content for it right now. That's completely insane in a lot of ways. So it's just like being mindful of that. And like you said, I think I have been a big proponent of like saying that like there is a change coming, because simply with how open trad authors have been about what it's like behind closed doors, as well as the increase in quality of indie published books, because let's be real here, the more people know about indie publishing and the more people who, I don't say are taking it seriously, because I think everyone takes it seriously in their own way and puts out their book the best way that they know how to, but the more information that's becoming available and the more resources that are becoming available, like with simple things like, you know, Atticus being available for Mac and PC, where before, if you wanted to format your book, you know, Vellum was kind of like your only option, you know, more free options and more like financially accessible options becoming available for publishing your book. More and more people are taking that route. And, you know, with more information becoming available, because one of the articles, one of the podcasts I listened to recently talked about an article where it's just like, facts are that if you're an indie author, you're likely to make more money than traditional publishing, especially if, like, you know, caveat that your book is successful, right? Gonna add that caveat in there. And it's just like, with that knowledge, it's like, I feel like that in and of itself is going to start shifting the landscape, but also the fact that, you know, with a lot of marginalized authors, we no longer have to necessarily get past the whitewashing and the gatekeeping of traditional publishing. Mm-hmm. It's just like, okay, yes, I could, you know, get an agent and query and go through this whole process and then possibly have my book not be what I want it to be. Or I could do it myself. Is it going to take more work? Yes. But you also run the risk of making more money. You also run the risk of, you know, being your book being exactly what you want it to be. And one of the things that I saw on Twitter literally this morning was someone talking about how self-published authors don't see their books on shelves. And I'm like, that's not true. Like, you can absolutely get your book on a bookshelf. It might not be in Barnes & Noble, but trad authors aren't in Barnes & Noble right now. So that's something to consider.
And that's exactly it. I think that, and I've said this before, and this is slightly controversial, but there's so much tension between indie authors and indie bookstores, because indie bookstores are suffering under the same systemic barriers that we are. There are two or three major companies that are selling all of the books, and indie bookstores are suffering. And as a result, a lot of them are, let's just be honest, taking that out on indie authors. Mm-hmm. They look at our books as risks, and they shouldn't, but that's not what we're talking about. But there is a beauty in the existence of the indie bookstore that just doesn't exist anywhere else. And even outside of just videos on TikTok or watching people have these books, there are thousands of indie bookstores that are out there that we can push for, that we can fight for, that we can work together with, that we can collaborate with, and make change that way. And that's why I constantly talk about the influencer bookstore and author relationship, because all of us as individuals, we only have so much impact. But if those three branches of marginalized people, because it, like, let's be honest, you're an influencer, you talk about books, you also are an author. The publishing industry is trying to keep us all from success.
Absolutely. Every stage of it. Because
it's keeping us all out.
The reality of it is, no matter how people want to look at it, no matter how you feel about it, what your opinion is, the fact is, traditional publishing is successful because it's exclusionary. When something mm-hmm. becomes unavailable to everyone, then the demand for the thing that is popular skyrockets. It's just kind of like if you look at Amazon. It's only as popular as it is because it's accessible to everyone and there's no real competition for it. But if there was real competition for Amazon, people would not support it as heavily as they do.
And absolutely.
Traditional publishing works the exact same way. Barnes & Noble works the exact same way, because if you look at online, I'll say social media at large, you don't have to take my word for it. You can, you know, I encourage you to do your own research. But, you know, if you look at the authors who are pushing Barnes & Noble, it's not because Barnes & Noble is great. It's because Barnes & Noble is literally everywhere. You're not guaranteed to have an indie bookstore, but more likely than not, you're going to have a Barnes & Noble within driving distance. And that's why authors are like, they want to be in there. But when you start to recognize that, hey, if you start pushing indie bookstores and you allow those indie bookstores to grow through that support, well, then Barnes & Noble isn't really a threat, because the reason Barnes & Noble is doing what they're doing is because they're already failing. They're trying to compete with indie bookstores now mm-hmm. because more people are supporting them, especially with the creation yeah. of things like bookshop.org, right? You know, more indie bookstores are available for online shipping than ever before, and that's really hitting them where it hurts. And it's just like the idea that, oh, we should regress and start pushing Barnes & Noble so they can go back to being this monolith. To me, personal opinion now, y'all, that is not the way to go. Like, the goal is to embrace the change, to support the indie bookstores, because I can tell you right now, as an indie author, specifically as a Black woman, you know, the minority of the minorities, right? Indie bookstores have been absolutely wonderful to me and my book. And that's not to say that I did not do the proper paperwork and the proper hoop, jump through the proper hoops to get my book in Barnes & Noble and Books A Million. They literally just sent a letter back being like, hey, we don't want your book in our store. That's essentially what it boiled down to. And it's just like, for me, I know that, how do I say this nicely, politically correct? I know what kind of book that I wrote, and I know who I wrote it for, and I know that the audience that they cater to is not, my audience and their audience is not the same. I know that. Yeah. So it's just kind of like, I expected it to come back negative. But when I tell you that indie bookstores have been like, hi, Chelsea, you know, we want you to come to our store so that we can host an event, or we're going to spotlight your book, or we keep your book in stock, or like bookstores that I've never been to, have never visited, have told me that they keep my book in stock because of the presence I have online, but also because people are going in and they're looking for it. And it's just kind of like,
exactly.
That it has, I think, has more power. And when we start to shift to no one store has all this power, you know, it's going to be a better day for everyone involved.
And that's exactly my point, is that when indie bookstores and authors work together, we make change. And there's been so much tension that has existed simply because a single system is pushing both of us from success and almost forcing us to not rely on each other. Like, we have in reference to why I said earlier, that's what I'm talking about, is that we have so many indie authors who prioritize Amazon because it is the most accessible for them, and because they feel like bookstores don't want them, because a lot of bookstores don't, and that's valid, and that's okay to be upset about that. The major bookstores don't want us, and a lot of indie bookstores don't, but a lot of them do. And then we have bookstores on the other side of that are pushing for the books that they know will sell, and they see us as a risk sometimes. But then in the middle of that, we have a group of people who, indie authors and indie bookstores, who are fighting for, who are branding off of real people. You know what I mean? Developing a brand that is entirely around making space for people. And right there in that sweet center is change.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited for, as more and more authors are realizing that, as more and more bookstores are realizing that. I've had so many indie bookstores. I did a series on that a while back. I had so many bookstores reach out. Like, we didn't even realize that we were treating indie authors like they were a risk, but you're right. Let's give us some recommendations with some books in here. And so many authors that are in bookstores now that weren't before, because of that, they're there. And for me, I'm with you on the Barnes & Noble. Like, don't get me wrong. I've been to Barnes & Noble. I've gotten books there. But at the end of the day, a bunch of people, and that's what I was talking about with diversity and book talk, a bunch of people came together and started fighting for books. And we're being clapped for and applauded around the world for the way that book talk saved the publishing industry. Mm-hmm. And Barnes & Noble is the company we gave all the money to. Mm-hmm. Why?
Like, literally that. And it's just kind of like, I think it has to be mindful, because obviously if you're older, if you're a millennial and you're not Gen Z, and your experience with the internet is different, sometimes it's hard to wrap your mind around the fact that one person and one movement can be as impactful as it can be, you know, because it's just like people, the part of the reason, linear thoughts. So basically, it's like if you go into a Barnes & Noble, right, the first thing, any bookstore at this point, first thing you're going to see is book talk. That's a table of books from book talk. That shows you how influential this is, because it's just like they are forced to acknowledge that these are the books that people are looking for. They're not necessarily new books. They're not necessarily super popular books. It's just the book that everyone is talking about on this particular app, on this particular given week, day, era, whatever. And the fact that they're watching and paying attention means that your voice carries weight. And it's just like, you have to understand, like you said, you know, when you brought to light the fact that indie bookstores are treating us like a risk, and so many bookstores were like, oh, you're right, we need to correct this. It's just like, your voice carries power. And a lot of people function out of, this is what we have always done. And especially for people who are pushing boundaries, it can be difficult sometimes to acknowledge the fact that some people are functioning from places of, they don't even realize that they're functioning from a place of discrimination, from a place of lack of inclusion. It's just like, this is what's always been done. This is the model that I followed, and this is the model that worked, and therefore I'm going to continue to follow it because it's been proven. And that is why, fundamentally, as a person, as a human being, my opinion is traditional publishing is always going to be lacking, because they're only following things that have already been proven. But the thing is, real impactful change only happens when you're willing to take a risk. And so I don't normally talk about it, but I feel like I'm going to preface what I'm going to say with this. I don't support J.K. Rowling. I don't support any of her games. I don't support the movies. She's a terrible person, y'all. If y'all don't know what she is, what kind of person she is, do your research, because she's terrible. But I feel like when we talk about publishing, when we talk about actual like publishing history within recent years, you have to talk about J.K. Rowling, because she is one of the first authors to actually create something that defined an era for a lot of people and became a cultural touch point for so many people. And a lot of people, you know, before, you know, the internet, she became, you know, who she was became prevalent, right? It's one of those things where you have to acknowledge the fact that her level of success is what a lot of people were saying that they wanted to achieve for themselves. But people also fell to like forget the part of the conversation where she wrote children's books, like middle grade books. Harry Potter is a middle grade book. He starts out and he's 11 years old. That is a middle grade book all day, every day. And that industry was dying. Like, there was basically no money in that, which is why it took her a long time to shop the book around. And the only reason she had the level of success that she did is because there was someone who was willing to take a risk and push boundaries. The same thing could be said for books that came after that. When you talk about Hunger Games, that is another dystopian era book where it's just like, at the time that it was released, it was pushing boundaries. It wasn't like, oh, and that's why people like, oh, I know the Hunger Games, but you don't really know all the books that came after that that follow the dystopian trend once Hunger Games became popular. And that's why Twilight, you know Twilight, but you don't necessarily know all the other vampire romance books that came after that, because the start of the trend is always going to be the most impactful part. And traditional publishing is very scared to take that leap and start a trend. Indie authors are the ones who are doing that. Indie authors and self-published authors are the ones who are like, this is the story that I want to read, so this is the story that I'm going to tell. And when it comes to self and indie publishing, a lot of times it's like, this is the book of my heart, this is what I want. And you write the book before yourself, before you write the book for the market. And that is why I always am like, indie publishing, I find true joy in indie publishing, because it's just like, it's what you want it to be. There are no boundaries. There are no hard rules. There are no, you have to do this, you have to do that. Like, this is the specific order of doing things. Like, whatever works for you and your book and what you envision for it, you can chase that and you can try to make it work to the best of your ability. And that was a whole rant, but...
but it was good. It was good. And I think that's the value in really focusing our eyes on Black and Brown influencers and bookstores and publishers. Because one of the things that is so devastating, everything you just said here, is that the examples we have to point to are all problems.
Yep.
Like,
absolutely.
There are so many, and of differing levels, because there's no problem that even touches J.K. Rowling. She's one of the worst humans on the planet.
Yeah.
But there are so many moments where publishing was defined by a single author or book or series that harmed humanity. And because I'm not about reforming. I'm not about reforming the major publishing houses. I don't care if they get reformed. I would like to just take away their power and give it to Black and Brown people. Because at this point, until it is Black and Brown people of various identities, not just, you know, not just the Christian straight Black person. I'm talking all across the board. I want neurodivergent. I want disabled. I want queer Black people and Brown people in these spots who are fighting for actual diversity. I want them making actual decisions for the industry. I want to see them in publishing houses. I want to see them running bookstores. I want to see them running influencer pages and actually influencing the culture. If we would give those people our power, because clearly we have power. Like BookTok single-handedly saved the publishing industry. And it's so interesting to me how little trust we still have in working with influencers, considering that influencers are the primary way that books find success today. HarperCollins doesn't decide who's going to be the next biggest author.
No.
They just have a budget that can convince influencers to decide. And if we could convince influencers, and not even a budget, just a name, if we could convince influencers to put weight behind marginalized authors, that would help bookstores to not be scared of them. But also, this is the conversation that I have often with other influencers that I'm friends with and with bookstore owners that I'm friends with, is that when it comes to your pages, when it comes to your stores, our books are not risks unless you have built your brand, not including us. If your brand is about marginalized people, if your brand is about inclusion and diversity, if your brand is about being mindful of your impact on humanity, the people that come to you for information, that come to you for books, are not going to see me as a risk. They're going to see me as the resolution of the conflict they came to you for. They're going to see me as the thing that they are searching for at your store. So if your store, if your page is impacted by you talking about our books in a negative way, that is because your brand was a problem.
Yeah.
Your brand is the problem here, not my book, not me not being produced and published, you. So work on that.
Like, honestly and truly, because it's like, as you say that, I think about my own experience, and it's just kind of like, you know, when I go to an indie bookstore, specifically one that's owned by a minority, a black or a brown person, the way that they treat me and my books is significantly different than when I go to an indie bookstore that's not owned by a minority. And it's not that, oh, they're indie, they should all be the same. It's just like, no, you know, the fact of the matter is that when you have a black-owned bookstore and you have a business that advertises, like, hey, we are black, not just they are, but they advertise that, hey, we are black, that has a different connotation, because a lot of people, a lot of minorities, are going to seek that out because they are advertising that, which means that my book, which is about black characters written by a black woman, is fitting that target that's already searching them out, versus just a regular indie bookstore where they're just looking to support a bookstore that's not Barnes and Noble, but they want Barnes and Noble product in a not Barnes and Noble place. Those are two very different intentions. And when you start talking about brands, and you start talking about that, like, every company, every business, every successful business, let me add that caveat, every successful business and every successful brand knows who their target audience is, and they know who they are marketing to. And I feel like, based off of, you know, what we've said and what I've learned just in this conversation alone, a lot of the way that indie authors are treated are probably based upon that. And sometimes we get blanket answers, because I've definitely gone into indie bookstores and they were like, oh, we don't carry indie books, based off of the assumption that my book is not in their database, based off the assumption that it's only on Amazon and it's only, you know, it's formatted incorrectly, or it's the wrong size and it's only like 150 pages. And they're like, no, we don't carry indie books. And it's just kind of like, okay, but when I've gone into stores and they've actually realized, like, oh, you're in our database, we can just purchase this like every other book from, like, you can purchase a book from Written to Melon the same way you purchase a book from Pinkham Random House. It is literally the same process, same system. And once they realize that, it's just like, it's a completely different conversation. And that expectation, whether it be how I look or how I approach them, which honestly, I am one of those people where I am very old school parents. I am very, you know, HBCU bred. Like, the when I approach a stranger from a business aspect, it is going to be proper. The way that I dress, the way that I talk, the way that everything else is going to, I'm going to come correct. So it's just kind of like that internal bias towards indie authors, towards minorities. It's like those play a factor, because at the end of the day, behind the brand, behind the business are people. And people at the end of the day are not perfect. And it takes effort and intention to move differently than how we always have, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's what's so important there, is that our conversations, like, for me, and I say a lot of stuff, I do. I say a lot of stuff about influencers, I say a lot of stuff about bookstores, I say a lot of stuff about authors. A lot of it is great, a lot of it is not enjoyable to hear. But at the end of the day, I have nothing against any of these people. My challenge is not for you to not suck. That's not what I'm saying. My challenge is for you to take a risk on change. And it's not, and I love what you said. I loved everything that you said today. I really enjoyed this conversation. But I want to see everyone who was involved in the publishing process from the start to the finish begin to view not how much of a risk an indie author is, but to begin to view how much of a risk it is for them to shift their ideologies to make space for a different view of people. Because the only reason I'm a risk is because you are aware that I am not the type of person or writer that you have built your business around. And that goes for influencers too. There are a lot of influencers that care about diversity, but they still expect it to be packaged
the way it's always been.
By a white man. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I feel like I love this conversation because there are so many aspects to publishing where it's just like there's so much room for change and there's so much room for intention and just being mindful of what you do, what you promote, how you promote, who you interact with, who you internally, whether you want to or not, assign value to, what books you assign value to, and, you know, just being mindful of that and not being like, oh, because this book is, I got offered from like Tor or from HarperCollins or from, you know, insert big publishing house here or well-known. It's like, oh, this book is in automatically has more value than a book from an author who's reaching out on their own behalf, you know? But that being said, this conversation, as lovely as it is, has gotten away from us because I did not ask you any of the other questions that I wanted to ask you, Michael. But that being said, we are coming up on an hour, so I am going to adjust this so that we're not going on forever. But we talked a lot about publishing and stuff. So can you give us the short version of DYB Publishing and your subscription box, which is on your Patreon? Because I know our listeners would be interested in that.
Yeah, absolutely. I run DYB Publishing, the College of Bookshelf Publishing. And we obviously we're working on publishing books, but our primary effort is in making space for Black and Brown people, which means resourcing indie authors, which means being mean to publishing companies and having space for you, and which means providing opportunities for indie authors to succeed. Our goal is not to monopolize your projects. It is to make space for you and to help you to do everything that you want to do in your career and to get to the next place in it. In regards to my book subscription box, that's one of my primary efforts in bringing inclusion and diversity to BookTok is by providing a monthly book that is written by a Black or Brown person who is indie published. Most of them are books you probably wouldn't heard of. Some of them are books that have blown up on their own, but it's getting those books into people's hands so that they are talking about them. We have about 200 subscribers, so I get to pick, and it's the life of my life. I get to pick an indie author every month and buy 200 books from them. And I just know, as an indie author, I know what those orders do for me, and my book is doing well. So I love to be able to do that for people, but I also love to be able to have conversations with readers who may not have seen that book before, about Blackness, about what it's like to exist as a marginalized person in a marginalized body in a marginalized world. So I would encourage you all to go be a part of that, and to obviously join both of us on TikTok as we talk crap and start fights.
Absolutely. All of that. All of that. And I will also say this. Michael has a Patreon that it includes a subscription box, but there's also so much other content that he posts. And I know because I am a part of it. I'm signed up for it. And I highly recommend that if you're listening to this and you enjoy the kind of content that I create, I also encourage you to sign up for Michael's Patreon because he does bookish breakdowns. He's also always talking about and giving resources to indie authors. So it's for readers, it's for authors, it's for people interested in either. Like, his content is honestly golden, you guys. So highly recommend. And I think that's it. I think that's all I can give you guys. I will say this last question, because I ask everyone who comes on the podcast this question. If you could give any writing advice to anyone who was just starting out on their writing journey, what would it be? Or for you, I can modify that and to be like any influencers who want to break into the space.
I would say two things for both. First, let the people who came before you and succeeded help you. Like, take their advice, take their resources, but don't ever allow them to erase your voice. Like, don't take opportunities that erase your voice. But the second thing that I would say to both influencers and authors is take the time to learn this industry. A lot of the things that are keeping us all from successfully navigating this space is that we are not taking the time to learn how the industry works and to learn how it works differently for traditionally published and indie authors. And if we would just do that, I think we have a lot less tension and a lot more success.
Absolutely. I second that 100%, because if you guys listen to the podcast, my biggest advice for anything that you do, whether you're just starting out or whether you're seasoned per se, is do your research. Know what you're getting into. Be able to have intelligent conversations with people, especially if you get to the point where you do have help. If you are reaching out to people, people are asking you advice. You want to come to those conversations ready, prepared, and have a base level of knowledge so that you can ask intelligent questions. You know, do the homework before you go to class, basically. But that being said, you guys, that is it for this episode of the Written in Melanin podcast. If you'd like to support this podcast, then please share it with someone you think may enjoy it. Join my Patreon at patreon.com/CM Lockhart, or grab a copy of my book, We Are the Origin, from my website, cmlockhart.com. You can also pre-order my upcoming book, We Are Dying Gods, from the same place. And if you'd like to support Michael, then please purchase his book, sign up for his book box and Patreon, and follow him on social media. There are links in the show notes for absolutely everything. And thank you guys again for listening. Until next time, you guys, I hope all of your books are full of melanin.